Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, Season 4, Episode 15, aka the finale of this season of 90 Day Fiancé, in addition to part one of the tell-all. They gave us a little bit of a combination platter where these two were put in the same episode, but they're kind of separate things. Either way, the tell-all season has begun, folks. I am your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Pia Zambichilli, ready to break it down for you for one of the last couple of times before we move on to the new season of 90 Day. But with me today, I've got a lovely guest, folks. She needs no introduction, but we're going to give her one anyway. She is one half of the B&B podcast, talking Survivor or Big Brother in the summer, and a third of the Drag Race Wrap Up and 100% of the Masked Singer Wrap Up, if you do not include me. It is the lovely Liana Boris. Liana, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is between you, me, and the fence post, but I would say I'm 50% of the Masked Singer podcast because you are also there. But anyway, I digress. I'm excited to be here. This was a weird episode because it was the sort of 50-50 mishmash that you were talking about. I wonder if it had played differently on TV because I watched this streaming. So for me, it was like one big unit. But maybe if you're watching it on TV, it's like, oh, the first hour is kind of wrapping up the season and then the next hour is the tell-all. But for me, it was like, it was weird to have them all in one episode.
I think it plays the same way on TV. I don't think it's changing all that much.
Okay.
Just simply because it was an hour 23. So it took the same 2 hour slot. So unless it was an exact 50-50 spread, which I don't think so. I think it was more finale than tell all. I think it was one shot anyway.
Oh, okay. I thought it was about halfway when it switched over. But I could be wrong there. Yeah. I mean, I guess they were just lacking content enough to do a full two-part tell-all, or is this 2.5 parts?
There is a part 3, can confirm.
Okay, so 2.5 parts, great. Okay, that's fine. I enjoy the tell-all. I think that it's, again, your cast of wackadoos all get together, and we got to see some elements of that. I loved how they started with the behind, well, yeah, we'll get into all of it. Anyway, it's just fun to watch these characters interacting with one another.
Yeah, I think ultimately I had a good time. I am happy that we are where we are now, where the season is done and we are beginning the tell-all process, because we were starting. It's been a good season, but we had been starting to get there, in my opinion. We had been starting to get to that samey, repetitive, nothing's happening segments.
Well, and I would even say in this episode, too, I would say three of the four couples that we got sort of regular content on was pretty much nothing new to me. So I'm happy now to be moved on to the tell-all.
Yeah. Well, don't say that because we have not moved on to the tell-all. First, we got to go through what happened in the finale. Yes. So let's start off by talking about Nicole and Mahmoud, who are still here, still together. And we're going to follow them, Liana. Thankfully for you. I know you're a big fan, so you get to talk about them one more time. So,
yes.
So Mahmoud takes Nicole over to a garden by the Nile. And this is where we find out that, yep, she's been in Egypt for 5 months. And there have been in talks about having Mahmoud move to the U.S. And so they've applied for that visa. They're just waiting to hear back. So she says, I got an email about the visa. We're getting closer to that time. Liana, as people who have applied for this, what does this email say for them?
Okay, first things first, this spot was so much nicer than their side of the road date on the bridge.
I mean, it's not even close.
I know, but I just want to say I'm happy to see the glow up here after 5 months of Nicole being in Egypt. So my assumption is that the email is that they are either going for the interview or are the first part got approved, because essentially the way that both the spousal as well as the K-1 visa work is there's sort of like an initial process where your whole application is being renewed and then you go in for an interview. So there's sort of these two different pieces. So I'm going to assume that this email was about that first piece, but they don't provide detail. But it sounds like, okay, we're getting close. We're going to have the interview. And then assuming the interview goes well, then he's issued the green card, which I, because they applied for a spousal visa. So most likely they'll just be issued the 2-year green card.
Yeah. So they are not anywhere near there yet as of the moment of this recording. I'm sorry, not this recording, but the finale episode. But that's not even the biggest thing they have to discuss here. Obviously, Nicole brings up, and we don't have to go through this too deep. Nicole brings up the whole, well, you know, the whole clothing thing. We might have to sort that out and figure our stuff out because we don't want to have these issues before we get there. And then she says it this way. She says, maybe if you were like less of a dictator, it would be the move. It would be the right way to go. Leon, is that a good way to say it? If I, for example, wanted you to do something that wanted you to like lay off of me and be like, if you were less of a dictator, that could help.
You should never use you language, always I language. I feel this way.
I think you should be less of a dictator and that could help.
I didn't say you were a dictator. I'm saying you're feeling like a dictator. Yeah, look, I just am so, I'm so over them. But because they're here, I will have to talk about them. First things first, I am happy that Mahmood is willing to go to the United States, because I know that there was some debate about when he talked with his brother about whether or not, you know, he was even going to go through with the process. But, you know, he's like, look, Nicole came to Egypt. Sure, let me try to go to the United States. So I'm going to give some credit where credit is due. And then there, but at the end of the day, they're still having the same fundamental conversations over and over and over again. And it seems like absolutely nothing has progressed in terms of that. So like, what are they going to do? Move to the United States and have exactly the same arguments? Yes.
No, okay. The same arguments, but almost like a reboot. It's like the same, but with a different cast, different location, different outfits, but very it's like similar.
It's like when they made the sequel Escape from New York and it became Escape from LA. It's just the same thing. It was like Escape from Egypt and now it's going to be Escape from LA.
Exactly. I genuinely think, jokes aside, that's how it's going to be.
Oh my gosh. They're going to be miserable. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is them now, which we don't know. So this segment, I don't know how much later. I didn't get a sense of like how much later. Yeah, exactly. I didn't get a sense of how much later the tell-all is. I mean, we know Mahmood is not in the United States. So at least a big enough gap between what may have been his interview and all that.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know which segment they got an email about. This could have been a later segment email, and this could have been a month later. We don't know. What we do know is that, to skip a little bit ahead, at the tell-all, we find out that Mahmood's about 3 weeks out from doing his interview. So okay, they're getting closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? He says, when she asks about getting Melissa addicted, he's like, well, the thing is, if you wear like a shorter sleeve, then I'm going to get angry. I don't want anyone seeing my wife's muscles. She's like, well, how about, is there any way you can figure out your anger about that? Like, let's focus on your anger and heal that, as opposed to me having to change it for your anger. Again, we don't need to unpack this. It's the same old with them. Nothing really new. I'm just giving y'all the facts so that you have all the information out there.
I mean, I do think that Nicole is sort of on to something here. I'm not saying she went about it in like necessarily the right way, but like, you know, there's things that you can, there's ways that you can communicate. Like, so what I'm hearing you say is that you feel really frustrated and it sounds like you have a lot of anger about that. Like, is that correct? And then it's like, why does that make you so angry? So there's sort of a way to like drill into and better understand where he's coming from and sort of what the origin is of that frustration, because it might be something as simple as like, no, I need you to cover up. That's a non-negotiable for me. Or it could be something of a control thing where it's like, I'm your husband. I need you to do what I'm telling you to do. And so there's ways to sort of drill into that. And it's like, okay, why does that make you angry? So there's conversations that they can have if they actually wanted to actually improve their issues. But instead, this conversation just like completely devolves into something totally weird.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part of this for me. Not the recycling of the same arguments when these two people cannot communicate to each other the right way. But what happens is She says something along the lines of, yeah, you know, when we fight, it makes me want to, like, you know, just book a ticket and leave. And he's like, I hate when you do that. I hate every time we fight, you threaten to leave. And I was like, you know what? I get him, right? I don't, if that's the threat, and every time it feels like I'm holding you hostage. I don't want that. And it also feels like you are holding that over my head of like, you better not fight me because I'll leave. So that's not good. But she then has a retort that I did not see coming. And she says, well, what do you want to do? Should I do what you do when we fight? Have these chats with girls in other countries? And Liana, my jaw was on the floor, because not only does he not deny it, not only does he get defensive, the first thing he says, this man says, why were you looking at me into my phone?
Oh my God. This was so bizarre, because it was the word that she said, because, okay, so you know how like 98 splits their segments up into different pieces. So what we ended on from Nicole was her saying, did you make it back to your hotel room last night? And I thought that was her telling him, like asking him a question. Like, they had gotten into a fight and he had left to like chat with other women or something. And so she was genuinely asking, like, did you make it back to your hotel room last night? Where it turns out, when she had gone through his phone, that was something he had said to another woman. I was so confused by that whole thing.
See, I took it the way it was. I didn't take it differently.
Yeah, so, no, I got confused. I was like, well, also, why is he staying at a hotel? I was like, I thought the whole thing was that they all lived with his family together, and like that was part of the issue. But yeah, I mean, apparently he's been talking with other women, specifically one woman from China who is trying to sell him TVs, and then he chatting her up, I guess.
So yeah, what happened was, and this made no sense to me. First of all, to make it very clear, she forgives him almost instantly and cites, people make mistakes. It's fine. I'm fine to move on from this. And I thought, yeah, if the shoe was on the other foot, there would be no forgiveness, I don't think. But what you brought up, I think, is very interesting, because she regales us of this story of a woman he was talking to from China who was offering TVs to sell to him. And then he started asking, and he thought she was being nice. So was it like a scam? I don't know. He thought she was being nice, and then he proceeded to ask about her age and what she does, da 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 da. Ultimately getting to a point in the chat where he asks her if she got back to her hotel safely, which would indicate they've been talking enough that he has a vested interest in her, right?
Do you think she lives in Egypt and she is Chinese, or that she is in China?
I see. Here's the thing.
It's so weird.
From living in Egypt would make more sense logically. But then, because then it just feels like she glossed over that, right? If she's from China, why is she selling TVs? Nicole, don't you think TVs is probably code for something then?
I know. I just felt like there were so many details of this story that just didn't make sense. I wanted more questions about this. I really hope that we get more details on this at the tell-all, because at this moment, it is just too vague and weird of a situation for me to either understand or let go. I need to know more.
Yeah. The more we know, the better.
Maybe he's just really friendly when it comes to buying, you know, electronics. He's like, look, let me get to know the salesperson first. Like, maybe that's just kind of his vibe.
Yeah, listen, there is no interaction where goods and services are being exchanged where you get to, oh, how much for that 40-inch plasma? Did you get home from the hotel safely last night? No, that is, there's more than just... This is not going to drive the bargain. This is not going to work.
I see. So I had a very different relationship with the Best Buy employee when I bought our computer. So
our computer
explains so much.
The communal computer that we have.
Yes, the family computer that we share.
See, you almost had me until you said "our." I was like, all right, it's a bit. We move on.
A bit. Yeah, sorry.
All right.
I have never spoken to a Best Buy employee for more than 20 seconds in my entire life. And I don't mean that as like an insult to Best Buy employees. I just mean that in a, I guess I just never go to Best Buy.
I can tell you what I say when I'm at Best Buy. I have three things I say. I'm just browsing.
I'm good. I don't need any help. Thanks.
And exactly. That's it. There's mm-hmm. beyond that, there's not a lot more. It's like, do you come here a lot? Yeah, I work here. Oh, okay. All right.
It's good weather we're having. Emojis. Oh, do you think Best Buy is like a service chat? Do you think you could send emojis on it?
I feel like that's a fruitless effort. Not effort. Adventure. Anyway.
Also, aren't they going out of business?
Okay, why are you is it because TVs you're focused on Best Buy? Because it could be anywhere. It could be a barista. It could be an Uber.
I don't know. I got interested in something.
Yeah, you brought up Best Buy, which this is clearly like a Facebook marketplace thing that's happening here.
Oh, okay. So
you think rogue Best Buy employee hit up Mahmoud and was like, my guy,
we gotta get
TVs.
It's the on the ground grassroots sales experience. Okay. Geek Squad, more like.
So they went from TV sales to emojis is the bridge of the story here that Nicole, I'm going to gloss over what you're trying to do, is what Nicole's telling us. Like, oh, they're talking about TVs and now he's sending suggestive emojis, which is probably like a kissy face or something.
Ooh, more like Freak Squad. There we go. Nailed it.
I am ashamed how long that took you to get there. It literally rhymes.
The only thing I could think of was BJ Squad, and that was totally not right.
No, I did different store, different policies, different acts. Okay.
Okay.
So when she brings up, well, why did you ask her? Did you make it back to your hotel safely? And he just says, I don't know why I did it. I'm sorry about that. I love you. That's not, I love you.
Okay. Sounds good. Great. Thumbs up.
It worked. Listen, I wanted to give him crap, but it worked. It was fine. She was okay with it. Because she said, you know, I'm letting him off easy. It's fine. You know, people make mistakes. And then he's like, I'll try and change in the US. And I just wrote in my notes, these two deserve each other. It's like two robots talking.
Seriously. Yes, my love.
Yeah, when they're talking, when they're trying to talk sweet to each other, it feels scripted. He's like, I don't deserve you. You are the best thing that's happened to me in the world. She's like, no, you're the best thing that happened to me in the world. No, but no, seriously, you're the best thing that happened to me in the world. I love you. I love you. It's like, all right, get me out of this call, yes, please.
Oof, gross. I hope they never show up on our television screens ever
they
again.
They will. If his interview pans out, put it in marker. He'll be back on. They'll be back on the season. 100%. So
they're both child babies. Stupid.
Aren't babies already children?
Oh, what did I say? I meant computer babies.
You said child babies.
Well, I think like a baby is a subset of children. All squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. All babies are children, but not all children are babies.
Have you met children? Like they're kind of all babies.
No, I don't know. No, I don't.
All right. We have spent way too much time talking about Nicole and Mahmoud than I would like.
Yeah,
let's skip on over and talk about another couple, Jed and Rishi, who were in this episode, but basically, if I told you they weren't, you wouldn't miss anything new here. So Rishi is on his way to meet up with his friend to let him know what went down. This is the same friend who's also an astrologer. And him and Jen officially broke up the day before this meeting. So it's very fresh and raw in his mind. So he tells his friend everything that went down. And the friend basically tells him, listen, I didn't say this directly to you. Astronomically speaking, this marriage can never happen. And I knew this from before, but I kept trying to push you towards, oh, maybe not here. Maybe not. It's never going to happen. It was never in the cards. So
do you think he made up that date?
Yeah.
August 2nd. Yeah, sure. Whatever. I don't know, dude. Yeah, whatever. You guys said, yeah. Or this is the equivalent of just, I never liked her.
Because I mean, there's a stark difference between never and a date, right? So if he's saying it was never going to pan out, then I think the date could have just been a, let me shove a 2 month wait in here.
Yeah. I don't know. If I were the friend, though, I'd be like, just get it over. You guys are not going to be compatible. Like, rip that Band-Aid off. Just get that over with the stars. Never going to align.
Your friend is in love. You're telling me you're going to tell your friend to, hey, this relationship you've been in for 3 years. Yeah, it won't work. So yeah. Get rid.
A real friend would do that.
Where's the emotion, Liana? Because it's hard to break that news to somebody.
Of course. But look, you just give your opinion at the end of the day. They make the call that they want. But you and Mari talked about this last week about like, look, there was no way this was ever going to work. Like Rishi was trying to have his cake and eat it too, by trying to please both parties and just put it off. And I mean, he even says it here in this conversation with his friend that if the translator hadn't have been there, he would have just made something up. Like he was just going on as long as he could to placate both parties.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't disagree with any of this, but as someone who has found that being involved in a friend's relationship where you're giving your 2 cents or your honest opinion or whatever, if it's something that's not actively rooting for and positive, if that relationship continues to happen, your friendship will get strained. And I don't want any part of that if I'm the friend.
Okay, I'm not saying the astrologer friend should give his advice or whatever, but what he should do is instead be like, how do you think the stars are feeling about Jen living with your family? Okay. Have you like felt that aura? I mean, you just like bring up questions to genuinely probe the situation. I think that a lot of being a friend or being a mentor or being someone who's there to help is really just to be a board to be reflected upon, right? Like I'm not, my goal would not be to push my own specific agenda there. My goal would just be to be like, have you thought about this? What about this? What are your thoughts on this?
Think about how mature you are in your communication skills and your understanding of it. Whereas I feel like, especially anyone from this show, will never understand that you're there as a sounding board. They'll be like, oh, I was talking to him and he gave me this advice. You know, like even though you didn't, you were just a sounding board. It's like, no, we spoke and you told me to do this. So that's why I don't condone it. It depends on the person. Anyway, so the next scene we see, Jen is on her way to meet up with Rishi to let Rishi know that they're not together anymore and that she's leaving. It's been a week since they broke up, but Rishi's been blowing up that phone, Liana.
Yeah. She was like, please leave me alone. I broke up with you. We, us, no, apart, not together. Like, I am literally leaving the country. Although I wasn't sure exactly how it worked with the apartment. Like, she was staying at the apartment. Like, did he lease it? I don't know what that
is. I think he leased it. I don't think it's under her name.
Yeah, right. I would assume as much, especially because she was just like visiting on a visitor's visa.
Right. Well, that and the fact that she just literally didn't know what to expect from the apartment and he knew all the details. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So now they broke up for real.
Well, that was it. Yeah. She basically sat him down, got him chai, and then said, this is the last time we're going to see each other. I'm going to let you go so you can be happy. And you also need to let me go. Some tears fall down. They're done. We move on. That was it for Jen and Rishi. Very quick on this episode. Not a lot to offer there, which I'm not mad at. What I am mad at, perfect segue, is Chris and Jamie next on the docket, Liana. And my blood was boiling watching this. I was so annoyed.
I have been waiting for that van scene this entire season because they showed it in one of the previews. I knew there was going to be a fight next to a van. And I was like, where is the van? And I knew this was the finale before the tell-all. So I was like, it has to be here. So I was so excited when they went to the van. It was like, I knew the climax of the movie was coming. And I was like, here we go. Oh, it was so exciting. I mean, not for them, obviously. What a horrible situation for them. As a viewer of the show, though, it was very exciting.
Well, it was okay. So let's set the scene here. Obviously, the last time we saw them, they were at this little birthday shindig thing that Chris had thrown for Jamie. Jamie had said previously, I will get my chance to talk with Chris face to face, and Chris needs to listen to me. Jamie started talking about money stuff. Chris immediately got mad, said, stop yelling. She's like, I'm not yelling. I'm just talking loudly. No, you're yelling. You don't get to yell while she is actually yelling. So the hypocrisy was real. She storms off. She gets back to the table. Okay. So now we follow up. She gets back to the table and the conversation starts with Chris first talking to us. And So, okay. So the Chris does tell us, we get a little bit of detail here, Liana. So Chris's son was the reason Chris was late. We knew this from last week, but we got a little bit of detail there. Her son went to jail. Her son was arrested because the son was involved with some drugs, got in trouble with drugs. And that changed everything. That changed the plan. I had to be there for my son. And she's insinuating that Jamie has an issue with this because I was not there for her birthday. So she's mad. Whereas Jamie tells us, I'm not upset about the son thing. Of course, I understand that. I'm upset that 2 weeks went to 5 months. And that makes all the sense of the world to me. It's not that your son going to jail caused the delay. It's that you shouldn't have even been there in the first place when this delay happened, right? Like, I expect you to be back months before your son goes to jail.
Exactly. You should be going home again when he goes to jail. Yes. You should have been here in the interim. Then you can leave again to go deal with the whole jail situation. Yeah, this whole thing is really bizarre because, I mean, all right, so clearly there's the two sides where Chris is like, I'm working, I'm paying the bills, blah, 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 whatever. And then Jemmy's there like, no, you're not. You're leaving me alone. You abandoned me for months and you don't talk to me.
And she literally says, Jamie says in like private, says that I'm in bigger debt than I was before because of her. Because we obviously know she hasn't paid all the rent.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because and the whole thing with Chris saying, well, it's $150 more than you said. Okay, then send the $400. Say, look, I can't pay for the full $550 or $500 or whatever the amount actually is. But here's the $400 I agreed to because that's what I agreed to pay. And then they can try to figure out where they're going to make up the rest. But we're not even seeing that part of it. It just... oh my gosh, there's so many things wrong with this. I'm just so happy that this seems to genuinely be the end, the fight by the van, because they need to be apart.
They've had to have been apart for way more longer and quicker than they are now. But yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly, because this only goes from bad to worse here. When Chris comes back and takes a seat to talk, Jamie says, are you ready to listen to me or no? And Chris says, well, don't I get to defend myself? If you get to talk about a segment, don't I get to respond to that segment? Which I don't know why this was enough to break it. They haven't even gotten to talk again. But then, yeah, like you said, the 400 versus 550 debate comes up. And Chris just says, I'm done with this. My son comes first. And it proceeds to yell at Jamie more than Jamie at any point raised her voice at Chris. Like if you were telling Chris, Jamie, to stop yelling, you're doing triple what she did to you. And she's supposed to be okay with it. That's fine. That's fair.
The thing is that if you go, okay, so just to go back briefly to what you said about when Chris said, am I allowed to defend myself? And that's immediately telling what her approach to that conversation is, which is that I am going to be attacked and therefore I will defend myself. And if you go into any conflict that way, of course there's going to be a fight, right? Because if it could be the simplest thing, if you are already going in with the mentality that I am going to need to defend myself. So from the moment she said that, I knew immediately that this was going to go nowhere productive. I mean, that and a myriad of other reasons. So it's just, I don't know how much of it is a language barrier issue too, but I feel like Jemmy communicates pretty well, at least for, you know, the things that the almost like bare bones basic things that she's trying to communicate, because these are like very simple issues. It feels like it's like you said you were going to be there. You weren't there. You said that you were going to do this. You didn't do this.
I don't think there's a language barrier. I think it's Jamie's looking for an apology and Chris is not willing to give it, because Chris, like you put it, has to defend her stance and believes that she has done nothing wrong.
Right.
And that Jamie's being sensitive and soft about nothing is really what
right.
it is.
Exactly. Well, and that Chris is in the right.
Exactly.
So that's totally.
So yeah, she says, I'm done with this, blah, blah, gets up to leave. And I love this clapback from Jamie, which is your ticket booked for tomorrow or the next day?
Yeah, that was funny.
I like that. So then, like you said, Chris is getting in the van, the production van, to leave. And Jamie has to get in the same van because that's how they got here. So Jamie goes to get in the van and Jamie's talking to the cameras, right? She's giving them her 2 cents. And Chris is yelling. He's like, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them. And Chris says, well, I came here to get away from you. Get away from me. And pushes Jamie out of the van and closes the door on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, physical violence, never okay. I'm happy that the crew was there just in case anything got worse for any reason. It also makes me a little bit concerned if like she's willing to do that when the cameras are there, what might happen if the cameras weren't there. So I'm happy that they put them in separate cars mm-hmm. and seemingly kept them completely separated because we didn't see them interact again. Also, Chris was holding a lollipop. You could see it in the reflection of the van window. I'm not saying this is important, but it was definitely something weird that I noticed.
The lollipop was important.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It felt weird. It was like, if I just shoved my significant other, no, my wife in a fight, I don't know. I guess the first thing I wouldn't think to do was to go have a lollipop.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. This is ultimately a very sad state of affairs, very sad story where poor Jamie gets married to someone, is with them in person for about 3 weeks, then doesn't see them for 5 months. They come back, they're being abusive, they're hurling insults, they're shoving, they have literally put you in debt by not paying rent that they had promised to. They're saying that I said the budget was 400, 500 is not going to cut it. Jamie is now back at work. She just started a job is what we were told. And what happened to the food truck? Why didn't the food truck come to fruition? I feel like Chris is just very much like, nope, I could never get a job here. Like, well, then you will never live here if that is the case, right? That's never going to happen. So what was your plan? Just to work in America for 3 years and then move back? That's not going to be a thing. So I'm very happy that this is over. I just feel bad for Jamie, who literally has a marriage of 5 months, but she was in a marriage for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I know. My heart really breaks for her. But yeah. I am so happy that she's out of the situation now.
Big time. Big time. So then let's take a quick breather. We'll take a break. We'll be right back to talk about a happier couple, and that is Gabe and Isabel. All right, Liana. So we got Gabe and Isabel. Honestly, not a lot to say here. They got married and it looked beautiful.
Yeah, take that, Mari. I get to talk about their wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Essentially, the biggest drama was what had happened last week with Gabe's sister throwing a hissy fit and not going to the wedding. But everything in this episode essentially was super positive. I mean, you got a little bit of the side eye when, you know, Gabe tells Isabel what had happened. But apart from that, it was amazing to see the parents together. They get married. The kids are so happy that Gabe's in their lives. Just everything was very heartwarming.
Yeah, I'm very much happy to see this, to see them and see everyone together. Nothing, literally nothing bad. Monica's not there. Oh, that was the drama last episode. Monica does not make it to the wedding and we don't really hear about why. And I think I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that too. I mean, you guys talked about this last week, but like she's throwing a temper tantrum and the mom clearly has seen this before. So it seems unsurprising. Just if someone's ever doing that for attention, you just ignore them and you move on and you live your life on the happiest day of your life when you get married to your soulmate. So just live your best life, Gavin, as well.
Exactly. Live your best life. The kids were so happy, which I love that as well. Mm-hmm. Mom looked happy. Her parents, his parents, like everything looked perfect. And I'm very happy about that. Now,
the parents hugging was so cute.
Right? It was great.
It broke my heart.
Aww. The little nugget of information that I feel like they embedded in this, which we'll probably see in the next tell-all, is Isabel says, like, I think Monica owes Gabe an explanation. Mm-hmm. So I have to expect Monica to be at the reunion for next week. She was not on this week, spoiler alert, but that's fine. Okay, mm-hmm. Liana, we're fully caught up with the finale. That was everything in the finale. Okay. Shall we tuck in to part one of the tell-all?
Yes.
Okay, so it's weird that they formatted it this way. So what we're going to do here, folks, is we're just going to go chronologically with what we saw, because obviously with a tell-all, they bounce around. This person said this about this person. So you'll get most of that, but in order so that we don't miss anything or try not to. So I feel like recently what they had been doing, Liana, is the whole, well, especially last season of Happily Ever After, they had the whole like event of the tell-all where they followed people on the road to the tell-all and then at the tell-all getting ready, hanging out. We didn't get any of that. Mm-hmm. We really got like one sentence updates on everybody as they were loading into the building.
Right. Or we got a little bit. I think they, I don't know if they just gave Gabe and Jen separate tripods to record themselves in their hotel rooms, but it's not like there was a crew there. It was very clearly a separate tripod that had been set up by them. Maybe they're the only ones who said anything interesting, but even then it was just like a brief sort of Gabe saying that he was excited to see Debbie and Danielle, but he doesn't like Chris. Jen, I think, said that she doesn't trust Osama. So just a few little tidbits, as you said, about the cast.
Yeah. So let's tuck into some of those then, Liana. So Gabe's already in New York. And I what I enjoy most about these moments at the tell-all is the finding out who doesn't like who and who likes who going in. That's always intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. So and if I miss on anybody, feel free to add, Liana. So Gabe says Chris is not his favorite. I am not shocked. And then Gabe is excited for Miss Debbie, who isn't. That is the correct read. But then later we find out that Gabe really likes Osama.
Yeah.
So Osama, I mean, truther.
He changes his tune pretty quickly in Osama the actual
Osama makes it
tell-all.
So hard to have any other tune, to be honest.
But I was so surprised by Gabe. I think maybe this was just like a hopeless romantic kind of thing where he's like, maybe it genuinely was a miscommunication. And he wasn't just, you know, purposefully omitting information. Maybe Gabe was trying to see the positive in that situation, although it disappears pretty quick in the actual tell-all.
Right. Jen doesn't like Osama. So that doesn't shock me in any way. Then we got Nicole. And Nicole tells us that Mahmoud and her have gone through some changes and she thinks people will be shocked on what she has to say. And she's wearing, and literally everyone has to point this out, she was wearing a dress that was not as conservative as what we have been seeing her wear during the season.
She has her whole arm out.
Yes. One arm out, one arm not out. It's like a 50, classic 50-50 look.
And a shoulder. So not just like sleeveless, like it was
strapless. Shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nicole then, so what's funny is, so then Nicole and Gabe are the first two to arrive at the venue. And Nicole asks Gabe, are you excited to see anyone? And Gabe kind of thinks, ponders a second, pauses, and then says, well, I'm not excited to see Mahmoud. He's like, Gabe, that wasn't the question, Gabe. She asked you who you were excited to see.
And it was like, maybe he thought of him because he was talking to Nicole, but
intrusive thoughts got in though. I would never say that to someone's face. Who are you excited to see? I don't know, but not your husband. That's for sure.
maybe it's one of those situations where he just blanked and he couldn't remember anybody else's name and all I could think about. And then it's kind of one of those things when you can't think of anything else to say and it's been too awkward of a pause. So you just sort of blurt out the thing that you're thinking that you know you shouldn't say, but you say it anyway.
Right. Which that was a very funny moment. I did like that. Then Danielle pulls up. And what was Danielle saying that people Because I know Danielle's someone who doesn't get a lot of fanfare. There's definitely a lot of people who are not Team Danielle at all. But the line she uses to like scoff it off implies that people are only backing Johan because he's attractive.
Right. People think I should cook and clean for him because he's hot, I believe, was the line.
And listen, as someone who hosts this show, has been watching for the last 15 seasons and looking at forums and talking to guests, I can tell you this, not one time have I seen anyone say that, ever.
I thought the same thing. I was like, maybe I am not on the right parts of the internet to find that particular mentality. Like,
should but I be reading her Insta comments or something? Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's her Insta comments specifically.
But even then, what are they saying? Maybe you should be quiet and just cook and clean. He's hot. Like, I don't see that happening. I don't know.
Anyway. I imagine it's Johan's burner accounts. He's just commenting
it's
that
just
over
all
and over.
Johan. Yeah.
Look, that's what the people are saying.
Apparently. Yeah. So that was kind of her way of coming in with the narrative of like, this is what I'm going to have it be known as. But then Nicole, so she pulls up. She's there. Danielle is. And then the three of them are talking about Osama. This is when Gabe lets out that he's a fan of Osama and thinks he's genuine. And that's because they were asked, how do you feel about Osama? And was it Nicole who said that she felt like Osama love bombed Debbie to get her there and to do all this?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it was Nicole, which is funny coming from her.
The irony, not lost on me. I'll tell you that much. Okay. And then Debbie shows up and Debbie describes, first she says, I'm here now. And then she says, I'm at the epicenter of temporary insanity.
That's such a good line. I really want to start using that more. Oh, it's me when I get to work, the epicenter of temporary insanity.
She is poetic with her words. I'll give you that. Definitely an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So Debbie has arrived and Chris arrives next. Chris already arrives and says, I've been extremely sick and, you know, I'm not feeling well. So, you know, maybe I might get sick later, whatever. And then Gabe tells us that he does not like Chris. We already knew this. And then we saw two people randomly get brought into the building, but their faces were blocked. Mm-hmm. It's because, Liana, once again, for this tell-all, we need, what's a good tell-all need? A host? The cast? And, guessed it, we need a commentary booth with two people giving their comments on the season. And it should be two people who have been watching the show like the rest of us on a show called Pillow Talk, where they just react to the show they're watching. And they need to be there in person to give their comments and opinions because they're warranted. That's right, Liana. Tim and Veronica, commentary booth. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is totally just not important at all, at least with them behind the scenes. Like, the behind the scenes, I don't think is important at all whatsoever. It added absolutely nothing. If they get brought out and then they get to instigate some stuff, that could be interesting. But the behind the scenes thing where they were just like chilling in the chairs, boring.
Boring.
And I loved him and Veronica, their commentary. So if I think it's boring, then you can do away with that.
It's just one of those things to me where I feel like we don't need this. They're already on a show that does give commentary. We don't need them here to give us their two cents on the tell-all. Which, can someone let me know, as someone who doesn't watch the Pillow Talk famously, do they also have Pillow Talk episodes for the tell-all episodes?
I think so.
Then leave them there. Then they don't need to be here in person.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they're going to just do the commentary, but for some reason they're just sitting behind the scenes, that adds absolutely nothing. But if you're going to use them as like your attack dogs to go send them out to like start fights in the tell-all, that's fine with me. Because that's different, right?
Yeah. Well, what's funny to me is that this is the second time they've done this commentator stuff. The first time it was Tim and Kenny. Mm-hmm. Kenny got shafted and mm-hmm. Tim got to keep his job and Veronica's joining now.
Yeah, maybe they were unavailable.
Who knows? Because I certainly do not. Okay, so then Liana, the tell-all begins, okay? So the tell-all begins And now we're going through, you know, Sean's doing her thing. Sean's back again and starts going one by one to each couple. You know, Debbie and Osama, nice to meet you. And we get a little bit of update. It's kind of like on Masked Singer when you get that extra clue afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the cue here is that Osama has been trying to communicate with Debbie, allegedly. He's been trying to send her hella texts. She's not answering. And when asked why, she says it was too difficult for her to wrap her head around the Osama of it all. So she's just been ghosting him, essentially. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's one. Danielle and Johan, Sean says, well, you left us unsure the last we saw you. Are you still married? Danielle says, yes, we are technically married. And Sean's like, what does technically mean? Johan? It's like, yeah, we're married. It's like, okay, so was she being facetious or are they married on paper only? I don't know.
I mean, maybe they have different definitions at the moment if they're going through some type of separation sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, well, also, like, different people consider it differently. Like, if you are still on paper married, some people consider that, like, even if we're going to be separated, like, we are still married, and they will consider right. that to like be, we are married, you are my wife, like I am your husband. So it might be that.
Interesting. We'll certainly find out soon enough what's going on. Okay, so then we get to Jen and Rishi. They've been in contact, they've been talking a little bit since the breakup. But nothing romantic, potentially.
Yeah. I mean, was there anything of note from them? I felt like it was just like a quick check-in and then we're going to get to you later. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I felt like nothing.
Yeah. Gabe and Isabel. Isabel misses Gabe now that Gabe's in the States for this tell-all. Very sweet. That's it. Yeah. Nicole and Mahmoud, the dress comes up. And Sean asks Mahmoud, how do you feel about this? And Mahmoud says, even if it bothers me, she looks amazing. Which I was like, that is a good answer, I think. We'll take it. Mm-hmm. Yay. Nice.
Yeah. And I mean, even though it's like, well, is that the outfit that you would have chosen? He's like, no. I mean, at least it was an honest answer.
I appreciated the honesty. I appreciated not lying, not being deceptive. Just being like, no, I honestly wouldn't have. Good. Right. Cool. We'll take it. Okay. Then Chris and Jamie. Audience, best news ever. Have you two talked since your fight? No. Chris and Jamie are done, and I am elated. I'm so
Hooray!
Happy.
Yes. Woo! Oh, yay. Good job. GGs. Woo.
We'll take it. Honestly, I'm so pleased. I'm so pleased with this playing out. So that's good, and that's delightful. And then from here on, we were in a regular 90-day format for the tell-all, where we're going through couples. So Liana, the first couple is Debbie and Osama, and honestly the only couple is Debbie and Osama. I feel like Nicole and Mahmoud got a little bit after, but we kind of cliffhanger with them. So can you run us through the Debbie and Osama of it all?
Right. Okay. So okay, let me just, first of all, we didn't talk about Debbie's pink outfit with her fan. It's fabulous. And I'm so happy that she just went all out for her tell-all look. So I'm happy about that. Oh, and the temporary insanity line, she said, let me hurry to it, which I do feel like Debbie and her son, who was also here at the tell-all, jumped feet first into this tell-all when it comes to just bringing their A game.
Oh, yeah.
Because they sort of open things where Osama had tried to communicate with Debbie. I guess he had tried to call her, in Osama's words, like thousands of times, but she didn't answer. So it seems like Debbie had put a very firm cutoff in terms of communication. Like, no, that's it. We are done. Like, you are trying to communicate with me, but I am not trying to communicate with you.
Right. Very clearly, Debbie's been done with this relationship, even if Osama's been trying to message. And the messaging comes up, right? The messaging comes up when Julian comes out. And I'm sorry, but Osama trying to claim that I was messaging and contacting her to make the breakup official is the dumbest answer ever.
Yes, I too call someone 1,000 times when I'm trying to make the breakup official. I mean, she ended things with you. Like, if you feel you didn't get closure, that's something different than making the breakup official, right? If you want to do a postmortem on why the relationship didn't work out, like that's something else entirely. But what was so funny when Julian, is that Debbie's son's name?
Yes.
When he comes out, he doesn't even bother to sit down before he starts berating Salma on the TV, which I'm so curious to see what it looks like for the participants who are telecommunicating into the tell-all. Like, could he see that he was being yelled at? Like, did he know? Did Osama know that Julian was yelling at him?
Where's the camera pointing for them? Yeah. Is a good question. Yes. I have to imagine they get to see, right? Because this is the format they use for the other way. And I feel like the person on the TV always knows when someone is emoting, crying, smiling. So I think they have maybe like a wide shot where everything's present.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe there's a wide shot. He could see him standing. Because I know they have all the different close-ups on everybody, which I assume they would just cut to the close-up. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Julian didn't even sit down before, he was like, you're in my world now, whatever he was saying, trying to go all Angela on Osama before he, you know, even graces the couch with his little butt. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Julian literally felt like, oh, no one likes him. Perfect. I'm going to be the hero. And I hate this. Listen, they're not wrong, right? Osama is scammy. Okay. Well, let's be real. Scammy. But I don't like Julian being right in any capacity. So,
yeah, it's going to make him feel like he can justify that behavior about anybody because it applied to Osama.
Yeah, and Julian gets such a pass because Debbie's his mom. If Chris was his mom, nah, this wouldn't fly. The same thing would not fly.
Well, Chris's son is in jail.
Yeah, apparently. So, okay. So then Julian gets his, you know, pound of flesh, basically calls him a liar, calls him everything up and down. What was interesting is then a question gets brought out about, hey, Osama, when you met Debbie in person, did you have a physical attraction to her? And Osama says, Debbie, why don't you tell him about that night in Casablanca, which sounds like a book.
Ooh, the night in Casablanca.
Right.
It's a spinoff of Casablanca. The night in Casablanca.
Which then Debbie insinuates that he tried to get amorous with her, but not that they got amorous. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the word like he tried to get Barry White time was the key part of this. Tried being the operative word
anyone with ears would say, okay, like, you know, sexy time, right?
Huh? Yeah.
But what Barry White time is there a Barry White song that insinuates making love?
Well, that's just sort of like, oh, you want to get physical? Like you put on some Barry White and then, you know, you get on.
Ah, like the bedroom music.
Yes, like bedroom music.
That makes sense.
It's like sexy time music. That's sort of the, you know, it's the lovemaking kind of vibe, you know?
All right, have a sip of your water. Okay. Relax. So yeah, then, you know, Tim and Veronica chime in like he's the biggest scam artist we've ever seen. I'm like, yeah, thank you. We already knew that. We don't need your input here. Yeah. And then, you know, Debbie's asked, well, is there any world where he could get you back? And she says he would have to move a mountain to make things happen. And then Sean asks further, what does that mean? What does moving mountain mean? She says he can start by sending me an airline ticket. Before she finished saying ticket, everyone's like, no, 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 that's not a thing. Stop it.
Well, they didn't let her finish. Like an airline ticket to where? Maybe he owes her a trip to Cancun. We don't know.
Right. Which the money stuff gets brought up again. And he was, because he had mentioned, you know, I'm an artist. Because Julian's favorite thing was to continuously say, get a job, get a job, get a job. Stop scamming, get a job. And he's like, he then at one point replies and says, I don't want a job. Poetry is my dream or something. I'm not going to give up on my dream. And then, artistry is my dream. And then his biggest defender in Gabe was like, well, you know, you can sell your paintings to tourists. They would buy authentic paintings from the country. And Osama responds with, no, I want someone to buy my art because they understand it, not because they just want it.
But like, it was weird. Yeah. He said, I want to sell my art to people who are appreciate it. And I was like, if they're buying it, they probably appreciate it. I mean, not just hang it in their living room. Like, is he only going to sell to museums? And I believe his quote that he said, I can't remember when exactly he said this, but it was, no, I will not get a job because I am a poet and I will die for my dream.
Yeah, that I think that was before the talk about the paintings.
Yeah. This is the moment where I think Gabe is really, you know, we heard him at the beginning of the tell-all. Yeah, I'm rooting for them. Maybe. Oh, okay. All righty then.
I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much all from them, right? At least in terms of like what happens to the tell-all, because then there's the little conversation after the fact between Debbie and Julian.
So Sean sends them into a quick break and Debbie goes to see Julian because Julian had already left the stage at that point. And Debbie's like, did you see him? He did not look well. He looked like he was sick or something. And then Debbie also says, did you notice Julian? Jen was giving you eyes. And like, he was like, well, you know, you got my number. You could pass it on. You know what to do. Like, I don't need to talk about this anymore. I was like, all right, Julian, don't play coy, but please do not hook these two up together, please. Because they'll put them on the show and I don't want that.
Oh, at first I was thinking, is Jen for this season, Jen? I was so confused about what she was talking about. And maybe it's because she started it with one of her like fantastic sort of like Americana Debbie-isms. This is between you, me, and the fence post that I'm just immediately disarmed. And then I had the exact same reaction you did. I was like, nope, 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 stop. Nope, no, 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 no. Not here, not now. No, no, no.
Burn him with fire. Okay, so
seriously,
then we get to the Nicole and Mahmoud segment. Mm-hmm. This is where we find out, where are you in the process? She said, well, I'm living in LA now, and he has his interview in 3 weeks. And then there was a little question about the logistics. She's like, yeah, well, I wanted to, why didn't you stay with him? And then just when he gets the visa, move together. She said, well, I wanted to get situated, find a job, find an apartment, have everything ready so that when he comes here, you know, I got to also support him for the interim. So like, that all makes sense. And I am sorry, but I don't like what they're doing with Mahmoud here. Okay. Because Mahmoud is clearly Muslim, right? Mm-hmm. And the questioning from Sean about, so Mahmoud, she'll have to work to provide for the two of you. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? It's like, he legitimately, legally cannot work. Okay, So why are you even asking this? Because what is he going to say? Yes. Well, you can't work, too bad. So then Mahmoud says, well, we're not two people. We are one person. So no matter how I feel, we are a team. And I love that answer from him. But I get very frustrated because I do feel like, and let it be known, I'm not a fan of Mahmoud. I've been very clear for 15 episodes that I'm not a fan of Mahmoud. But sometimes the way the questioning goes with regards to Islam and Muslims, I don't love it and it rubs me the wrong way.
Okay.
I just wanted to put that out there.
No, but I mean like about, because I know Sean brings it up, right? Because she says if this were a Jewish or a Christian parent.
That's what I'm saying is that first it was here. We haven't even gotten to that part yet. Uh-huh. But it was here. Because again, all of the way they talked to Mahmoud was like, oh, Mahmoud, she's showing shoulder. How does that make you feel? Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Oh, Mahmoud, she's going to have to work for the both of you. Are you okay with that? It was like, watched him for 15 episodes. You know how he's going to respond and feel. It just felt like they were trying to pump drama out of it. And I didn't love that.
I mean, okay. So first of all, I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, this is a very like American Eurocentric audience. There's definitely some Islamophobia baked into this for sure. I mean,
We see this also, though, with like it's because it's from an American perspective, like, oh, what a weird culture. What a weird thing that Rishi would want to like live with his family, you know, even though that's like such a totally normal thing in different cultures. So like, yes, I acknowledge that. And I think that the job thing was definitely weird because it's not like it was a big deal where she couldn't work, right? It's not like it was like, oh, Nicole can't work. I'm the one who has to support us. Like if that had been a through line in the season, I could understand why they would be asking the question, but they didn't ask it here. The thing that was a through line was the clothing thing. So I understand why they were asking that because literally the whole season they've been fighting about the clothes that she wears. So that to me just felt like a continuation of a storyline that we've seen continuously. But the job thing, I can see where that feels out of place. And feels like you're saying this because you think he's going to have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't know. This might just be me, but I definitely am frustrated because it just to me, it feels like you're just trying to get some kind of reaction. And I'm happy that that reaction wasn't given because, again, I actually, you know what? I don't need to repeat myself. I feel like I've been very clear on this.
But I mean, but that's what I'm saying is that like, if, like I said, if it had been a storyline where, you know, he didn't want her to work, then it would have made sense. He would have had a reaction to it, but it makes sense that he would have been fine with it here because it's not like he ever said, oh, she can't work. She can't support us. Like that was never anything that he ever talked about.
Right. So then, what's it called? Then there was a question about, well, this happened very quickly. Like you proposed what after a week of knowing her. So why did you do that? Like what happened? And he actually was a very sweet response. Says, you know, before I met her, I didn't really want to marry anyone. And then I met her and, you know, like she with her, it made sense. And then she says also, yeah, I would never, you know, looking back, I don't understand how I did that. And I wouldn't be doing this, but for him I would. He was the right call is what Nicole says.
Yeah, that was kind of sweet. I mean, I think they have so many problems, but in that moment I was like, oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Well, then we get here. Okay, Gabe begins to insert himself into this conversation, and Gabe says, well, because, you know, they talk about how if they have a child, he has said he wants his child to be Muslim because he says, you know, I'm not forcing her, you know, before we got married, I told Nicole if she wants to be Muslim or not, like, that's fine. But I said, I want my child to grow up Muslim. And Gabe immediately says, well, what if they don't want to be Muslim? And it was very pointed. And Mahmoud was basically like, listen, don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. But then Gabe kept pushing. No, no, no. What do you mean? Like you're trying to force someone to be like Muslim. What if they don't want to be? Why can't they choose their own religion? And I think what Mahmoud was trying to say is basically because then Mahmoud said, I will teach them. I'm going to teach them how to be or whatever. And I think Mahmoud was just saying, I'm going to raise my child Muslim. Didn't say, and they must be Muslim the whole way through. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like a weird exercise, like thought exercise, the whole, like, if you have a child, are you going to make your child do this? My completely made up, but potentially based in some facts opinion on this is that I think Gabe is coming from his own place of understanding what extreme religions and it happens to be Islam in this case.
Well, Gabe has said, right, that any religious people have always been negative towards him, right? Remember how worried he was meeting Isabel's dad because Isabel's dad is religious and he was convinced that that was going to go sideways and then it didn't.
Right. So I think that this is, I mean, understandably, I think that Gabe is coming from a place of the ultra religious have been the ones that in the United States have been pushing the biggest anti-trans and anti-LGBTQIA plus laws. So he's like, this type of mentality and this type of behavior is a threat to literally my life. And so I think that there's a lot of inserting himself I'm not saying appropriately so, but it is coming because I think he's defending his right to exist, right? Mm-hmm. Because like when you, I mean, what I understand is that the trans community, when you are faced with a group that is just coming for your existence, it's like this fight or flight kind of thing. And I think that's part of the reason why, because the controlling he sees Mahmoud do to Nicole, he probably sees parallels to religious groups trying to control his human person. And so I think that he, because of those parallels, he is not only fighting what he thinks is for Nicole, but also fighting for himself in that moment.
Right. And that's the thing, is that I could very well tell like Gabe's sensitivity to something like this and where Gabe was coming from. It ultimately opened up though, right? Because Gabe is the first one to speak on this, and then mm-hmm. other people started jumping on. Specifically, what did Danielle asked something? Danielle literally said, "So Nicole, are you going to send your kids to Quranic school?" Which is not a thing. Quranic is not a phrase. The Quran is the book, right? The holy book. That is. So it's not like like a religious school, sure, is a thing, but I've never heard the phrase Quranic school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had never heard that before. I thought it was maybe like an equivalent to a Catholic school.
Well, I think that's what she was trying to say. Actually, you know what? Let me correct myself. It is a Quranic school is a neighborhood institution in a town or village, often connected with a mosque, in which Muslim boys and girls between ages 4 and 14 acquire familiarity. So it is kind of like a Sunday school situation. It's not a whole school system.
Okay.
Gotcha. But there are Islamic schools, and I think that's the correct word.
She probably meant then.
I think that's what she meant. Okay. But then Sean brings up a good point, because then obviously we have now talked extensively about Gabe and why Gabe may be responding to religion, period, not specifically this religion, the way that Gabe is doing, right? Mm-hmm. Sean brings up a question that I really wish was answered, but then someone else said something else and we kind of glossed past it. But mm-hmm. Sean said, if this was a Jewish couple or a Christian couple, and they said they wanted to raise their child Jewish or raise their child Christian, would these criticisms and questions be there?
So I think, okay, so I'm sure from Gabe, the answer would absolutely be yes.
From Gabe, there would be yes.
Especially, I mean, because the key here is not just that he's religious. It's not just that it is sort of the level of conservatism is really, I think, what Gabe is reacting to when it comes to the level of autonomy that an individual person has. Because I think that, I mean, we see this in the United States, like extreme Christian religions are almost exactly the same. And I think that, or at least in terms of like that level of control. So I think Gabe would be pushing back exactly the same way.
Yeah, I think, again, for Gabe, I agree. But I'm saying the others. I feel a little more skeptical that the others could potentially be going about it this way.
Well, because I think I'm trying to remember. I didn't write down what the other people said, because in my head it was mostly like a Gabe and Mahmoud thing. Because I know like Danielle said that they just the question about the school. But also, yeah, it was weird. I was happy when Nicole finally was like, we don't even have children. Why are we having this conversation?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is that it was like, oh my God, I've been so done with this couple. And now we're talking about this stuff and I'm getting frustrated all over again. Like, let me stop reliving this, please. Can we move on?
I think for me, I was like, why are you having an argument about children that don't exist instead of like actually talking about the issues that you guys have right now? Like, it felt like a weird thought exercise that was maybe tangentially related, because again, it was about autonomy and control, mm-hmm. but it wasn't about like them. It was about these fantasy children. It was just like, talk about the actual, like, They have so many things you guys so can be talking about.
Let's talk about the friend who isn't here anymore. Let's talk about his family. There was, which I'm sure we'll see more of next time, potentially. The next time on, we had Chris and Jamie are going to be bringing up the Chris's ex may have sent some photos to Jamie of Chris cheating on Jamie. Curious to see how that goes. Gabe and Isabel had a little bit of friction. Rishi and Jen. Jen was forcing Rishi to say something to his family. I don't know what that is, so we'll see. And
the
then,
friends, Jen's friends.
Why are they here?
I don't know.
Why are they inserting themselves in yet another relationship?
Of course they're back.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is going to be, I'm excited to get to the Chris segment whenever that happens. I just don't know what Jen and Rishi, like the thing is that when you have a couple that's now broken up, I mean, we covered Debbie and Osama pretty quickly. So when I'm looking at some of these other couples, like Jen and Rishi aren't together anymore. Like I'm curious to know what we're going to get into for them. And Gabe and Isabel, that's going to be interesting as well, I think. Because we'll get Monica, right? For that.
Monica's I'm the friend somehow. The friend is here. Gabe's friend who's saying stuff. So
yeah, Gabe goes out and women hit on him.
Is Gabe partying? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we'll just one last thing on Nicole and Mahmoud. I'm happy they weren't on the next time on. Let's just bury them and move on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Please don't bring them back. I might have to exercise my right to just not talk about them if they're on a season. Genuinely. It's just trauma and frustration for me.
Totally. I mean, it's all just such bright red flags from both of them. I'm just so over
it. Yeah. No, they're both awful. They're both awful. He is acting like, oh, I don't know, you know, with the U.S., I don't know if I'm going to be able to, live this, do that, have friends. I was like, you literally won't let her have friends. So don't be a hypocrite. And then with her, I'm like, you agreed to these conditions and that you don't want these guys. Blah. Okay. Blah. That's my take on them. All right, Liana, let's get out of here. Let the people know. Thank you for coming on. First of all, let the people know, where can they find you? What other projects do you have going on?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. We are podcasting about Masked Singer, You and Me finale this week. Woo! Drag Race just started, All-Star Season 8. We did our first episode release on episodes 1 and 2. That's out if you're interested in that. And then the B&B is going strong. We have 2 episodes left, 1 episode, and then the finale. I'm super excited to see how the Survivor season is going to end.
I agree. I'm very excited for the finale upcoming. And like you said, Masked Singer will be coming to an end. We will be talking about that this week. And then that season's over. You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. These are the places you can find me now with some of those podcasts being done. But we'll be here with 90 Day Fiancé, obviously writing it out next week. We've got part 2 of the tell-all. The week after that, part 3 of the tell-all. And then June 4th, brand new season of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, with one returning couple in Gino and Jasmine. I'm very excited with a brand new cast to see how that goes. I'm ready for that change of scenery. We've got a couple of weeks until we get there. So we'll be on the Hot Mess Express for that. But for today, we've arrived at our destination. I hope you've had fun with us. Take care. Have a good one. And we'll see you next week. Bye.